here's the deal. We all have bad days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. Some of you might feel like you've had a bad lifetime. I don't know. I'll just be honest, in the last few weeks, especially this past week, I've never seen Satan more blatant with his attempts to discourage good Christian people. And it's just tough when you see that happening, and you like, you know, sometimes you just want to get mad at the person, and you want to get mad maybe even at yourself at times. And this psalm, man, when we really dive into it and we really see what the psalmist is saying to us, it's basically an opportunity for you to guarantee that you will have a happy day, all right? Because we've all had those days where we wake up in the morning and your spouse or your friend or your coworker says to you, man, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed today, right? We've had that happen before. And to get ourselves in the right frame of mind, I think, for every single day of our lives, the psalmist has given us this psalm. And so I want to share it with you today, how to guarantee you're never going to have a day like that. Now, this message is titled, How to Guarantee to Have a Happy Day. I've subtitled it, thanks to what I've heard Mr. Wilde say down through the years, make it a great day or not, the choice is yours. Because it's really possible for you to rise above your circumstances and be focused so completely on God that you lose sight of your circumstances. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 103. If not, you can follow along on the screen. Psalm 103 is a part of a pair of psalms. In Hebrew, it actually is all one. It continues from 103 into 104 without the break. But they're both psalms of praise. Remember from week one, we talked about the different kinds of psalms that there are. There's the psalms of wisdom. There's the messianic psalms. There's the thanksgiving psalms. There's the lament psalms or the country music psalms, if you want to go there. Psalm 103 is a psalm of praise. So everybody say this with me. Praise the Lord. That's what he wants to hear. That's what he wants to hear. That's what David started this psalm out with, saying that God really wants to hear this. And this was written by David 3,000 years ago, and God has used this psalm to teach people how to have a happy day ever since. So I'm going to read this psalm to you. Now remember that the psalms are songs, okay? They're songs that David wrote. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. It has even outsold other songs and books and albums. It's that big. So when you stop and think about it, this song that we're reading today has outsold Elvis and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Aretha and Garth Brooks and Bruno Mars, Beyonce, Michael Bublé. You think of any of them. It's outsold them all. And I don't know about Baby Shark. Baby Shark might be above it right now. But here's what it says, right? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all that are all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Can I get a praise the Lord for that? Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You want to know how to never have a terrible day again? There's three simple steps. They're all based in this psalm. I would encourage you maybe even to start every single day with this psalm and be reminded of how good God is. But here's the three steps very quickly. Start your day with God, not yourself. Start your day with praise, not with requests and not with regrets. Start your day with remembering what you've got, not what you've not. Let me show you those things from this psalm. Start your day with God and not yourself. David starts this psalm with a simple command. He says, praise the Lord. He's not saying, hey, you might want to praise the Lord, or hey, if you got nothing else to do, go ahead and praise the Lord. This is a command. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. He's telling himself, if I want to be in the right frame of mind, if I want to be in a right relationship with God, I've got to tell myself every single day that I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him from the depths of my being. David is saying, don't stand up and be shallow. He's saying, you need to go deep with God. In the depths of your soul with God, you need to tell Him every single day how great He is, right off the bat. And don't just wait until something bad happens to you and then say, oh yeah, I didn't get around to praising God today. You start the day off with Him. That's what David said to do. In fact, he uses a word. The word is Barak, and it's spelled just like our former president, Barak. And it means to kneel, to bless, to adore. Because what he says to us is this. He says, listen, your mind is limited. You have a limiter in your mind. Your mind can only think of one thing at a time. Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Right, men? Right, ladies, about men? Okay, go ahead. Let's just put it out there. We understand. We can't multitask. We can't think, and you ladies can't either, you know. I mean, you might be able to multitask, but you can't think of, you cannot dwell on or concentrate on more than one thing at a time. So the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning is praise God. I'm going to praise God today, regardless of what I face today. I'm going to praise God. Think about the challenges that you're about to face that particular day. And say, I'm going to praise God. You know, because when you forget about all of those circumstances that you might have or all those situations and you say, I'm going to forget about those things and I'm going to praise God. You cannot praise God and think about those things at the same time. The Bible, it's impossible. You cannot do it. Science teaches that. So that pain that you suffered from the day before, the problems that came your way, or that pit that you have in your stomach, or that hatred that you might have in your heart for someone or anything else, or any trouble that's in your mind, you want to guarantee how to have a happy day. Don't dwell on that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Start with God. Start with how great God is. We're going to sing that song in just a little bit, one of my all-time favorite songs, How Great Is Our God. That's what David says you need to do. Praise Him. And David lists five ways that God has been good to him. So if you're sitting out there and you're saying, well, you know what? There's people, some people who are blessed more than I am, and I just don't know if God's blessed me all that much. I want you to just maybe take note of the things that God has done for you. Remember that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. That's good for us to do. Here's five things that David says God has done for him And he's done for you as well. The first is this: he forgives me. And then second, he heals me. He redeems me. He encircles me. He satisfies me. And David uses the names of God, the different names of God, to teach us about this. The first name is Jehovah Salach. And you got to say it like that, Salach, because that's Hebrew, right? Kind of like you've got something stuck in your throat, all right? He forgives me. He's Jehovah Salach. David knew that he needed forgiveness. You think of the story of David, and you think of all that he did. He committed adultery. And then, not only did he commit adultery, but he had the woman's husband with whom he had committed adultery. I didn't say that right because it made it sound. Okay. He had an affair, adultery, committed adultery with the woman, and then had the husband killed. The way I was saying that did not sound right, okay? And he tried to cover it up, you know? He knew that he had sinned, and he tried to cover it up. And David said this, and this is the thing that we need to remember. My sin is ever before me. You know what that feels like? Have you ever been there? Where you've just got this gnawing sin that's just eating at you. Do you know what that feels like? That's where David was. And then this is what he says. The Lord forgives. The Lord forgives all my sins. How many of his sins did the Lord forgive? How many of your sins will the Lord forgive? Absolutely. No, all of them. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous. Some translations say he's just. To forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's the good news. When we're forgiven of our past sins, that doesn't mean that we're not going to sin anymore because we're still going to mess up. But God says, not only do I forgive all of those sins in the past and all of the sins that I might commit today and all of the sins I might commit in the future, all at the same time, he forgives them. He will forgive our past, he'll forgive our present, and he'll forgive our future. And when you understand that you are forgiven of your sins, that is a huge weight lifted off of you. As many of you know, in the last 4 months, I've lost 50 pounds. I feel a lot better. My knees don't hurt like they used to. My back feels better than it has in years. And I feel great. I feel better than I felt in years. But that is nothing in comparison to the weight of sin that's been taken from my life. Nothing that's been lifted off of me through my lifetime. If you wake up in the morning and you just start by praising God for forgiving you of your sins, I guarantee you that's going to help. That's going to help. That might sound churchy. It might sound simple. It might sound a little bit corny, but you try it tomorrow. See if it doesn't make a difference. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise Jehovah Salach, who forgives me every morning, every evening, every day. Here's a second name for God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He heals me. He is Jehovah Rapha. When does he do that? Well, sometimes it happens whenever somebody gets sick or we've seen miraculous things happen. Sometimes our ultimate healing takes place when we go to heaven. I understand that. But he's doing it every day. He continues to heal you every day. Everybody just take your arms and go like, if you got a jacket on or long sleeves on, just kind of roll them up like this a little bit and put your arms out here like this, okay? Okay, now for those of you who think we're getting ready to do something like Pentecostal or praise the Lord, that's not what we're doing. Just do this with me right here, okay? Now, take this other arm and just start rubbing it like this. Okay, you can stop. You have just deposited over 100,000 dead skin cells to the floor. Do you realize that? Your body, man, I know this is going to sound real depressing, but your body is a death machine. It's not made to last forever. You are constantly being rejuvenated. Your cells are constantly being rejuvenated. Someone has said, science has proven that every 7 years, every cell in your body dies. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Interesting theory. But basically, within 7 years, your body is completely new. If that's true, if all your dead cells have died away and new ones have come along, then you're completely new. He's healing you every single day because the dead cells are falling off and the new are coming. You want to do something gross? Anybody want to do something gross? Not here, but go home and do something gross. Take a clean white rag or a clean white handkerchief. Some of you know where I'm going with this already. Stick it to the end of the nozzle of your vacuum cleaner and vacuum your mattress. Within 30 seconds, your clean white rag will be covered with dead skin cells. I know, right? That's disgusting. But they're dead skin cells from which God is healing you. The old falls off, the new comes on. God is continually renewing you and healing you day by day. That's amazing. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And sometimes it's more dramatic than that. Sometimes we see people healed of cancer. Sometimes we see when someone goes in for a study and they say, oh, there's something there, and then they go back and there's nothing there. We know that happens. But if God does nothing else but renew you and heal you every single day, that's pretty amazing. Third name for God is this, Jehovah Gaal. The Lord who redeems. He redeems me. He is Jehovah Gaal. To redeem means to be bought back. Anybody know what it's like to be bought back? Well, we should if we're in Christ. That's why we've got the new shirts. You might have noticed a couple weeks ago when we had the three baptisms, and it says redeemed on them, because that's what's happening in baptism. God is buying you back. And just for those of you who are sitting out there and you're thinking, man, I got gypped on my baptism, I didn't get a free t-shirt, look, we'll hook you up with a t-shirt if you want one of those. But the word redeemed is basically a term that means you're bought back. How many of you have ever watched the movie Father of the Bride, both of them, with Steve Martin? And number two, George and his wife Nina, now that their kids are grown, they've decided they're going to downsize on their house. They're going to sell their house, and they're going to move into something a little bit smaller. And so they sell their house to this business guy. And this business guy has plans to tear the house down, and he's going to build two smaller houses in its place. And then they discover that they're expecting again. This was the uh-oh moment for them, okay? And they can't stand the idea of this new baby coming along and them not raising their baby in this new or in their old house, the same house that they raised their other two kids in. So George goes to the business guy and says, I want to buy the house back. And the business guy, being the shrewd businessman that he was, said, I'll sell it to you for twice what I paid for it. And George can't believe it, but he pays double the price because he can't stand the thought of his children or his new child not growing up in the same home that his other children grew up in. The Bible says that Jesus bought us back at a huge price. A price that none of us could ever afford. More than double our worth. And he made us. So he owns us. The Bible says he knit us together in our mother's womb. But when we grew up, we went our own separate way. And God could not stand the thought of us living anywhere other than the family home. And so he sent his son Jesus to pay for us a second time. He bought us back. Praise the Lord. Oh, my inmost being, praise his holy name, because he bought me back. He is Jehovah Gaal, the Lord who redeems me. Now, the fourth name that David uses here is Jehovah Atar. He encircles me. He is Jehovah Atar. Jehovah Atar is the Lord who encircles me. Our translation says he crowns me with loving righteousness. And basically a crown is that, right? It's a circle. And the Bible is saying that God encircles me, encloses me, surrounds me with his loving kindness. Now, if you've been in church for a while, you've heard of the Greek word for love is agape. And it means unconditional love. The Hebrews did not use that word. They had a different word, and they used the word hesed. And again, you got to use that kind of hesed kind of tone there. Hesed is God's unfailing love. Give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. His loving kindness, his hesed, endures forever. We have to fuse two words together to get this idea. He's loving and he's kind, and he's not just this way every once in a while, but he's this way all the time. Man, I wish I could be loving and I could be kind all the time. Can I get an amen to that? Now, my wife and kids hopefully did not say that, but man, we can be so unloving and we can be so unkind, but God is never that way. He is always loving. He is always kind. I want you to imagine a moment, a dad who just grabs up his toddler and just squeezes that toddler for all that he's worth and just loves on him and squeezes him and shows the affection that only a father can show. That's what our Heavenly Father does to us. He wraps those arms around us and he encircles us with his love. Now, the fifth name is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord who satisfies. Isn't that good when you stop and think about it? The Lord who satisfies. The Rolling Stones had a great old song that said, I can't get no. What a bunch of pagans. Did you listen to that? Seriously? No, I'm joking. you want satisfaction in your life. You wake up every morning and you worship Jehovah Sabaoth, the God who satisfies every need that you have. He satisfies me. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. The shame for the Rolling Stones is that they don't really understand what brings that satisfaction. Apparently, they've tried it. It's been well documented that they've tried all sorts of things to try to find this satisfaction in their life. And they admittedly said, I can't get any. No satisfaction at all. But here's the secret that the Rolling Stones need to know. Here's the secret that every human mind needs to understand. Satisfaction, complete satisfaction, can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's impossible for the human mind to think two thoughts at the same time, right? We've established that. You can't do it. And you can't feel two feelings at the same time. So here's the principle. If you can't think two thoughts at the same time and you can't think two feelings at the same time, when you're feeling thankful, you can't feel sad. David starts by telling himself to do something that probably wasn't a natural thing for him to do. And that is to think about somebody other than himself. We do that, don't we? We're good at thinking about ourselves and what we like, what we think our needs are. And God is saying, man, you need to get your minds off yourself. Start thinking about me. Think about God. Verses 1 and 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Start your day with God and not yourself. Start your day by remembering what you've got, not what you don't have. Let me show you the rest of this song that David wrote. Verses 3 through 5 describe what God has done for one person. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he encircles, he satisfies. Verses 6 through 19 describes what he does for everybody. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. How many oppressed people does God work for? all of them. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Not just a few people in Israel, but all of them. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you thankful for that? That God does not give us what we deserve, because what we deserve is death. But he abounds in love, every single one of us who call on his name. Verses 11 and 12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Think about this for just a moment. How high are the heavens and the earth? Infinitely high. How great, therefore, is his love for those who fear him. It's infinitely great. That's what the psalmist is comparing God's love for. You look as high as you can go into the sky. That's how high God's love is for you. How far is the east from the west? I had to think for a moment because I get my, am I right? Which way is east? Mike, tell me. East? All right, I was right. How far? You look as far as you can to the east. You look as far as you can to the west. And God says through David, that is how far away I have removed your sin from me. It's not there. You can't see it. It's one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture. It's infinitely far. It tells us no matter what we've done, God's love for us is bigger than whatever it is that we've done. And it tells us that no matter how far or how long we have sinned, God forgives us farther than that and longer than that. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Why does God have compassion on us? He knows how we're made. He made us. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. Our lives are short. You know? But his love and his forgiveness is long. Listen to this. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his principles. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. So when I have a horrible day, I just need to remember God's got this. He's already established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Even though we see Satan actively working in the lives of other people, even people who claim to be Christians, understand that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against Satan. He's using people to discourage us, to get us off track, to keep us off the mission of reaching people for Jesus Christ. And so get mad at Satan and understand that he's a wounded animal. And wounded animals are dangerous, right? But God's got this. His kingdom is over all. So I submit to you that there is nothing that any person can do to me. There's nothing that any person can do to you that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Here's what it says in Romans 8:38. Neither death nor life, neither height nor depth, neither the present nor the future, nor anything else in all creation can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So with that in mind, I don't care what anybody else says about me. Now, does it sting sometimes? I'm not going to lie, sometimes it can. And you've been there before, right? You've been there when you feel like someone's kind of putting you down and dragging you through the mud. Start your day understanding it doesn't matter what anybody tries to do to me. God's loving kindness has encircled me, and there's nothing that can separate me from that. No wonder David ends the psalm by saying, "Praise the Lord." You, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word, praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts. You, his servants who do his will, praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion, praise the Lord, O my soul. Everyone, everything, everywhere ought to praise the Lord because he's good. And he's good to those who call on him. And that's the question as we close. Have you called on him? Have you made the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you entered into that relationship with the Heavenly Father that allows you to experience his goodness in a way that you never will outside of that relationship? We want to give you that opportunity to do so this morning. Maybe you're here, and maybe some things I was describing this morning, you just need someone to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you down here or after the service. Maybe you're here this morning, you want to become a part of our church family. We'd love for you to consider that this morning. Or maybe it's a decision to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and repent of your sins and be baptized into him. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and during this song, if you have a need, we encourage you to come this morning.